This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've had all-stars that should have deleted their tweets from when they were 17 that might have been homophobic or racist in nature. But, Terry, you have books that are written. You can't just go back and delete any of those.
Pretty much I can't delete any stories that are out there either, I guess. On the Internet, that's... You live with them all, so that's the thing there. The tough thing is whether, I mean, this guy's got a job, he's in the major leagues. You know, you do stuff when you're 17 or 18 and, you know, you're in high school, now you're going to apply for a job 5 years later, and they just happen to run a social media check on you, and there's some stuff, and it's like, oh, well, we're not hiring her or not hiring him.
It's unbelievable that you could do that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that it hadn't come out before. When he made the majors, I'm surprised nobody looked that stuff up.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Of course, it'd be sort of like if you, I don't know what to say. I mean, first of all, you shouldn't do it. Secondly, it happens. We all have stuff in our closet now. It's the cyber closet. But Les, you and I would go back to college, go back to wherever. There are probably things, maybe not along those lines, but among other lines, that could be just as embarrassing.
Yeah, I talked about it earlier. I'd say that would be very common.
All right, Terry Pluto, join us on the hotline. Terry, last night, the All-Star Game, 25 home runs, 25 strikeouts, 10 home runs. They call it the true outcome revolution, and I'm fine with that in an All-Star Game, but I got to tell you, this kind of falls in line with the stat that came out a few weeks ago that there's 3 minutes, 50 seconds in between the ball being put in play in Major League Baseball, so it's all or nothing the way that MLB is right now. Do you like the way the game is evolving?
Not at all. And I'm not just saying that because I'm old or whatever, but I like to see some action too. And the emphasis on getting pitchers who strike everybody out and hitters who are more than willing to do it. It's like the column I wrote on Jose Ramirez – as I wrote about how he's the best combination of new school and old school. Now, you know, here's a guy with more walks than strikeouts. He hits for power, you know, and what the new guys love. But the old guys love that he hits like 300. And he actually thinks a stolen base is fun. You know, he's 20 out of 23. And you look at him and the way he plays, and why do people respond to him? Because he has a lot of action going on when he's playing.
Yeah, and something's always happening. And,
yes.
And it looks like, and they pointed it out on the broadcast about Lindor, looks like these guys are having fun. And you'd like them, I mean, they're making a lot of money. They're playing a kid's game. They're acting the way you and I would act, I think.
Right, and the part of the reason they're having fun is like the ball is in play. You know, whether they're defensively how they're playing or they're making contact, they're running around the bases. I mean, one of the worst things I thought that came out with the whole – Moneyball thing is that, you know, strikeouts don't matter. Just strike out all you want. Stolen bases don't matter. And just try to hit everything out of the ballpark, although we do like walks.
Well, Terry, you covered the ultimate guy when you were starting out in your baseball coverage, and you had Earl Weaver, who believed firmly in the three-run home run. Mm-hmm. That was the precursor of what we have right now.
But he didn't like strikeouts.
He didn't?
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
He really didn't. And he also... He was iffy on stolen bases. He would go up and down on those. The big thing with him was that he wanted his pitchers to throw strikes. They didn't put this huge emphasis on strikeouts. They absolutely were at war. You know, like Bob Myers is at war with pitch counts. They were at war with walks. I mean, he would just scream at these pitchers for walking guys, and he would also say, "There's a reason there's eight guys behind you with a glove. You know, counting your own." How about making them hit the ball to somebody? He would actually, when he was mad at some pitchers, he would have them stand by the batting cage. And he goes, now walk it. Look, there's a 60-year-old coach out there throwing batting practice, and he, you know, watch the guy. Well, was that a hit or would that have been caught? You know, the point being that when he even lobbed the ball in there, you know, a lot of the balls, that these guys are probably only hitting 400 off of batting practice.
Hey, Terry, I said something a few minutes ago. Tell me if you agree that the biggest difference from those days, and you were talking about the early 80s, you walk into the locker room now and you see five pitchers who were 6'7", which you never saw before.
No, and I mean, the hitters are bigger too. Everybody is bigger. Nonetheless, when you just, there's a thing you say in coaching, you get what you stress. So if you're stressing home runs and you're stressing strikeouts, that's what you're going to get. But also if you're stressing strikeouts, a lot of these guys, you're getting all these counts that just go on forever with all your foul balls and everything. And that's, I don't know how that's going to change other than some team goes and decides to, hey, we're just going to play the ball differently. We're going to be more athletic and we're not going to, we don't have to have seven guys hitting 20 homers.
Terry Pluto joining us on the hotline. The Indians now at the All-Star break, 52-43. They're 7.5 games above 500. Les and I agreed that we thought splitting with the Yankees was a win over the weekend. I find the Yankees to be a better overall team than the Indians, but I think we have the better starting pitching. I know the Yankees may have more of a capacity to improve than we do. With all that said, how are you feeling about where the Indians are right now?
Well, I wanted to see them go up and just rise up and play really well against the Yankees. I think that was important for them mentally, you know, given the playoffs last year. And I believe they lost up to two games in the last at-bat in New York earlier in the year when they played them. So just to actually have some relief pitching at some point gets them out was important. And secondly, you sit there, and I wrote a column also earlier about the six All-Stars show how good the Indians can be. In other words, how close they are to having a really elite team. And you know, we can get into, wouldn't mind having another outfielder could hit. But, the bullpen. And because when you have the bad bullpen, everybody gets antsy, even when you happen to get through a game where you hang on to the lead. And the manager doesn't look very good. And I remember Omar Vizquel was telling us one year when the Indians had won a really bad bullpen. And I said something to him like, boy, he's nervous when, I forgot whoever the reliever was. He goes, if you're nervous, I think I feel when I see that guy coming out of the bullpen. He goes, now don't write that.
Hey, how much concern do you have in Corey Kluber at this point?
I want to see. I didn't like hearing about the knee because it used to be the back, remember?
Yep.
And that is a result maybe this year and some of these others of, you know, trying to extend an extra bat or an extra inning because the bullpen is so bad. I mean, the great thing is they could just rest him. If that knee's not ready, just put him on the disabled list. It's probably tendonitis, it sounds like, what he took a shot for. But, you know, you don't like to hear that kind of stuff going in to the second half.
Terry, have we gotten to the point, we're talking to Terry Pluto right now, plaindealercleveland.com. You can read all the stuff. You also have some book signings coming up July 25th, 6:30 p.m. Boardman Library, and July 31st at 6:30 at the North Ridgeville Library. So you can catch them two different spots. I continue to try to figure out this rotation, I am now to the point where I trust Trevor Bauer more than Corey Kluber. Is that silly? Is that just spur of the moment thinking?
I mean, one thing about Bauer, other than the drone injury, he's never had one. He doesn't have the miles on his arm that Kluber does. So sure, I mean Bauer is. Bauer's terrific, and he's got a 2.25 ERA. Every year, if you look at it, once he established himself about 3 years ago in the big leagues, he's gotten better. You know, he's always adding a pitch or subtracting a pitch, and I have to admit, I've been in the Bauer camp because in a lot of ways, he is old school about wanting to pitch all the time. And yeah, he uses all the new data, but you go out there, he's like this bull on the mound. You know, just give me the ball, I'll get him out. And I like guys who are relentless in their pursuit of excellence, even if sometimes it takes some strange directions. I mean, nobody is worried. I remember the one night after the drone thing, and there were just a smaller group of us around Francona. And Francona said, look, if he was out in a bar and got into a battle where people were hitting each other with beer bottles, I'd feel differently. He said, but he wasn't. I mean, he's been doing this drone stuff and science stuff. It's something that happened with this kid. And then he talked about, you know, that how dedicated Trevor really is, you know, to his craft, and let's not, you know, kind of destroy his spirit over this.
Terry, you've got the trading deadline coming up. Do you see the Indians? I know they're kicking the tires.
They've got to do some stuff.
Well, given if you could only do one, you want the relief pitcher or you want the right
hand? I'm a relief pitcher guy for now because they're going to need it for next year. You know, it'd have to be a guy there. And you can make a strong case the other way. But I just know this. I don't want to go on to play anybody in the first round and say, I got Oliver Perez and Neil Ramirez, and even if I put one of my starters out there, no, I don't feel good about that at all.
Terry, I want to get to some of the summer league stuff. You just had a notes column recently about Colin Sexton, who was named the all summer league team. Now, let's be fair. Summer league is glorified kind of open gym. So if you're a guard, you have the ball in your hands, you know, you are going to score. But with that said, I've been kind of stunned at Colin Sexton's transition even to summer league. I wanted Kevin Knox, and Kevin Knox has been great too, because I like the size. I always prefer, you know, the bigger guys over the smaller guys, the way the NBA is going right now. What did you think about Colin Sexton? What's your scouting report?
Well, number one, you'd rather have him be on the all summer team than you watch the guy go, what did they draft him for? He can't even get past three guys who are going to want to play in Germany.
We saw that with Anthony Bennett, did we not?
Yeah, no, seriously, yeah, you do. Or if I remember, Anthony Bennett was so out of shape he could barely play in some of the games. So that's number one. Number two is he has a couple of things that will do well in the NBA, which is the ability to get to the rim. He's really quick, and he's only 19. And so you could see him, if you look at tapes of, say, games 1 and 2 of the Summer League versus games, I think it was 5 and 6, there was a jump right there. And this has nothing to do about he's going to be the next Kyrie Irving or whatever, but you look and go, now that's a guy you took in the top 10 in the first round. That looks like a guy with potential. And so that, to me, was really positive because, frankly, that was, you know, Kobe Allen's first foray into the draft right there in a spot where you're not drafting number one. You have everybody to pick from. Like you said, and by the way, the Cavs did like Knox. If Sexton weren't there, they may have taken Knox. I got that from a really high place because I was not that high on Knox. And I threw out some other names, and this person said, we might have gone Knox right there. We were pretty sure Sexton was following us. So actually, they were in your camp.
Tell me what they're thinking about.
And that was before the summer league, too, to be fair.
Yeah. Tell me what they're thinking about Kevin Love.
They want to open the season with him, see where they are at midseason, and then if things are not going particularly well, they would trade him then. They also think they can get more value for them then on the trade market than now. And if things are going really well, you know, maybe they decide they want to go for the playoffs anyway.
Well, Terry, I want to pause and think about that right now because I told Les yesterday that I believe the Cavs have some really smart people in charge. I also believe that if Dan Gilbert wants to make the playoffs, whatever those smart people think, Dan will supersede any of that. So explain to me the logic in trying to go out and make the postseason this year, and then what that would do. It would remove your ability to draft a pick potentially in the lottery. So that to me could be very, very alarming and very disruptive to the team's rebuild.
I guess the idea would be, remember, that pick's only 1 through 10 protected, so you're going to have to be really bad to get that pick. That's the other issue.
Are you doubting their ability without LeBron to be really bad, Terry?
No, I'm saying it could happen. I'm also saying the other way, they could be just really mediocre. I don't know. I mean, I know this. I like the roster that they're going to open the season with this year, minus LeBron, than the roster minus LeBron without them last year with a bunch of old guys in that.
And certainly better than what they were the first time LeBron left.
Yeah, so that's a key there. But, look, these guys are not stupid. They're really not. And it really depends on Dan. And sometimes how Dan feels, shall we say, in July, or Dan feels in November, is different how Dan will feel in February. Okay, we have a chance to do this for Kevin Love, and we can get a first round, and we can get, you know, this player.
Does Dan have to come out and talk to the fans?
Yes,
he does. But he doesn't, guys, I'm going to stop you right there. Owners don't have to do anything.
Yeah, except sign the check.
Right. I mean, it's almost like if you're like somewhere in your apartment building, you know, the. Here's the problem with owners. They're owners.
Yeah.
renters or squatters or however you want to call it. I mean, that is just the fact.
They have two different constituencies. They've got their team, and they got the fans who support the team and pay the bills.
Right, and they've got their fellow owners who, what did we just see in the NFL? They just got a check for $255
million? Yeah, just
so,
for
yeah,
existing.
I got to go out and talk to the fans, really?
Apparently not.
No, I mean, so I think it would help, but the... But that's one thing I've just, over the years, I've just kind of, maybe I've just got old and surrendered on that. You can't make an owner do anything because he's an owner.
Hi, Terry. We appreciate you coming on, as always. Terrific stuff. And again, July 25th, you've got a book signing, 6:30 Boardman Library. Is
yeah,
that the next one?
Yeah, it's a talk. It's free. 6:30 Boardman Library. And then the following, what was the date again?
The 31st, July 31st.
Right, in North Ridgeville. Those are in the evening. Those are free at the library. So. Now, you look at it this way, it's a money-back guarantee if you don't like it.
Here's your money.
Thank you, Terry.
Like listening to the show, you don't like it. Well, you know, hey, you're still ahead of the game. You didn't pay anything for it.
How could they not like you? Come on.
Well,
all right. Appreciate it,
Thank
Terry.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Terry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.